How many know Jesus is alive? I don't think you heard me. I said, how many know Jesus is alive? He's alive, baby. He's alive. I would say we're going to take that back to the black church, but that wouldn't even be original. So we're going to take it back to the first church, okay? First century after Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. That's where you say amen. Amen. It would cost you your life to say hallelujah at the mention of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take it there in just a second. Not to take your life, we're going to take it to the first century, okay? So what I mean is this. Nowadays, to get excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man, even in church, it'll cost you your decency. Some churches just don't play that. How many know that? Okay? Miles and Wendy. How many of you guys know Miles and Wendy? Miles is the worship leader at the other church. Excuse me, the other campus. A couple years ago when they got married, Maggie and I were at their wedding, and we're sitting towards the front, not the very front, and the pastor who was marrying them was like just dropping some really awesome, some awesome statements about God. And as he was speaking about the love of God, the power of God, the holiness of God, I just found your boy saying, amen, hallelujah. And this kid on the front row turned around and was like, I say, amen, hallelujah. He was like, and I realized, you know, that kind of, they don't do that right there at that church. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to take it beyond that, though. I'm saying it in the first century, it would cost you your decency and it would cost you your life. Okay, so we're going to get excited about this thing. I'm going to say Jesus is alive. And you're going to say hallelujah like you mean it, okay? Anybody with me say yes? Yes. Let's practice this thing. Because I know when y'all get at home, y'all be wondering sometimes, man, what would it be like to go to a black church? Y'all be thinking that, don't you? I know y'all be thinking that, okay? This is how we're going to do it. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Come on, I said Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Somebody stand up. I dare somebody to stand up in here right now. Put your hands up. I dare you. Come on now. Come on. Don't be scared. He's alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He is alive. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus Christ is alive. Paul put it this way. By the way, who brought your Bibles today, man? Raise your hand if you brought your Bible. Not to diminish anybody that didn't, but I want to celebrate you if you did. Let's get on the inside of that Bible. Get the Bible on the inside of you. Amen. I want to encourage you to do that. But check it out. Paul said this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Check out what he said. This is the way he put it. Man, if we are beside ourselves, man, if it seemed like we're crazy, if it looked like we done lost our mind, if it looked like we belong in a black church, basically, that's what he's saying. If it seems like we're crazy, it's only because we're worshiping a God who is worthy. That's what he's saying. He goes on to say, but if we are of sound mind, if it seemed like we got it together, if we look like we're in a conservative church, okay, if we got it together, it's for your sake, so we don't scare y'all, okay? Look to your neighbor and say, what you scared of? I'm just worshiping my God. He goes on to say, check it out, the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, he said, man, upon this conclusion, now the love of Christ is controlling us. What's the conclusion? This is what he said. That one died for all. The great one died for all. Therefore, all died. In a sense, if you put your faith in Christ, then you've died with Christ. That's what he's saying. And he died for all, why? So that they who live might no longer live for themselves. They wouldn't be foolish enough to now live for themselves. That's silliness. But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That's when you say amen. Amen. So I want to challenge you, fam, before I dive in this. I want to challenge you. Anytime you hear something so glorious and true, if you hear a statement or if a statement crosses your mind that's so glorious and so true about Jesus Christ raising from the dead, people don't do that. He rose from the dead. God forbid that you would ever respond this way. That's what's up. I believe that. No. Jesus rose from the dead. That deserves a hallelujah from the inside out. Can I get a witness? Amen. Check it out. Homeboy of mine back in Gastonia, my hometown, about 2 hours from here, right outside of Charlotte. Homeboy of mine by the name of Prashant and his brother Rakesh, they're both Indian. Their families are from India, and they're practicing Hindus. And they own a clothing store, an urban clothing store in the mall. And back when I was a senior in high school, 10 and a half years ago, some of y'all are thinking, Man, that guy is a lot older than I thought, and the others of you thinking, he's been out of high school for 10 years, he's a pastor? Excuse me? 10 and a half years ago, when I was a senior in high school, having a conversation with my homeboy Prashant, he's a Hindu, we used to kick it all the time, talk about religion, spiritual things. We're in his store, behind the counter of his store, there's this figurine and this picture of this Hindu god by the name of Ganesha. Now, you've probably seen Ganesha because Ganesha has the head of an elephant and the body of a human being. Anybody ever seen Ganesha before? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you guys ever been to a convenience store or gas station run and operated by Indian people? Anybody? Now, what you know about Indian people, at least the ones that I always run into, they are not scared to share their faith, okay? They ain't scared to let everybody know that I'm serious about this, okay? You walk into the gas station, and they got incense burning and pictures of their gods and got things on their heads to demonstrate their faith. And I think we could learn a couple things from our Hindu friends. And what Prashant told me, I said, Prashant, tell me, what is that? What's the god? What's that thing? He says, that thing is Lord Ganesha. It's my god. I said, well, tell me about Ganesha. So he goes on to tell me that, as the story goes, Ganesha was created by a goddess. And the goddess created Ganesha from her skin. She desired to bathe in privacy without her husband interrupting or coming into the shower quarters. This is getting a little PG-13 for some of my crew. Just bear with me. I'm gonna keep it clean, okay? So the way the story goes is that she created this boy to guard the entrance of her bathroom, so to speak. And one day her husband, Shiva, who was a god, comes into the house and sees this boy guarding the doorway to the bath, and he's angry, he struggles with the boy, and ends up killing the little boy and severs his head. So when the goddess comes out, she finds the boy she created to be dead, and she's struck with anguish and heartbreak, so she demands that her husband, Shiva, the god, go and find the first creature he finds, must take the head of that creature and put it on the little boy, and then the boy would live. So Shiva, in the story, goes, finds, what's the first creature that Shiva finds? It's an elephant. Puts the head on the boy lives forever, and that's the story of Ganesha. I said, Prashant, you don't really believe that, do you? Prashant said, no, I don't believe that. I believe it the same way Christians believe Jesus rose from the dead. Ooh. Them's be fighting words, right? I said, Prashant, I got to correct you, man. I really believe Jesus rose from the dead. I really believe he lived a perfect life, died a perfect death in substitution for people who didn't deserve it, and he really rose from the dead. Amen? Anybody believe that? Yes. Well, Prashant says something very profound. He said, man, there's no way you really believe that. There's no way the majority of Christians I know believe that, because if you did, you wouldn't live a life of casual faith. Ooh, that's a dagger. He hit me. Ugh. I said, hold up, man. I love the Lord. What you talking about? He says, if Christians really believe, this is coming from a Hindu, Christians really believe Jesus rose from the dead, then their faith would mean more to them than waking up on a Sunday morning a couple hours earlier than you normally would have, going to church, and maybe thinking about the Lord once or twice during the week. I might even go to Bible study. He said, man, if Christians really believe Jesus rose from the dead, you really believe that happened, that would dominate your life. Was he preaching the truth? Yes. He was preaching the truth. So what I want to hit you with first today, I got a couple things that I want to lay on you to the glory of God. The first thing I want you to get out of this is that what we believe affects how we live. Can I get a witness? Matter of fact, I'm gonna throw some emphasis on that. What we really believe affects how we live. Does anybody know that's true? I'm gonna pick on my homeboy Derek, man. How many of you guys know Derek and Bronwyn? Anybody know Derek and Bronwyn? Well, what y'all know is that Derek and Bronwyn really believe that organic foods and products make a difference, okay? I don't believe that, okay? Derek believes that. When we were in the stretch for Godspell, we were doing Godspell. Man, we had an awesome time. And you guys were so awesome to supply tons of awesome food and, And it was great. In between practices and after practices, we would go downstairs and just eat it up, man. It was great. But anytime we'd be on our way downstairs to indulge in this fried chicken and mashed potatoes and, oh my goodness, it was glorious. Derek would say, "Hey guys, I'll be back. I have to go to Green Life." I said, "Man, Green Life? You see what's downstairs?" He says, "No, I got to go to Green Life." Why? Because what he believed really affected the way he lived, okay? My people, 200 years ago, African slaves brought from the motherland to America. And if you notice, if you see any pictures or pictures that depict that time period, you don't see African men in chains and shackles keeping them on the plantation, do you? No. What you see is African slaves, many of them very athletic and capable of gaining their freedom by simply running away. But there was something that they believed that stopped them from doing that. Masters told slaves, if you try to leave, rest assured that creatures in that wilderness will eat you straight up. There's psychology to why black people don't like going in the woods, okay? This is why. So black people, slaves way back in the day, 200, 250 years ago, lived with this belief that creatures greater than any lions or tigers that we saw back in Africa was going to eat a brother up, so I ain't leaving. So what we believe, what we really believe, affects how we what? How we live. So my first point that I want you to get out of this is, if Jesus Christ really rose from the dead, it should show up in every facet of our life. Pastors and elders and jail group leaders shouldn't be the only ones thinking and talking about Jesus all day, every day. If you really believe he rose from the dead, that should affect the way you live. Can I get a witness? Yes. Amen. But what I want you to know is that sincere belief does not equate to truth. I could believe that Jesus rose from the dead with all of my heart. Does that make it true? I could believe that I have $400,000 in the bank with all of my heart. Does that make it true? Sincere belief does not equal truth. So I want to hit you with my second thing. Check this out. The resurrection produces radical change. I'm going to say that again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ will produce radical change. Say radical. Now, that's relevant to the point I just made about truth in this way. Follow me. Now, who's ever heard of the word apologetics? Okay, it's a fancy word. It simply means the defense of one's faith, okay? You got Muslim apologists that defend the Muslim faith. You got Christian apologists. You got atheist apologists. You got all types of apologists. And if I wanted to convince you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was real, literally happened in real time and real space, then I could point you to some heavyweight apologists like Walter Kaiser or James White or how many of you guys have ever heard of Simon Greenleaf? I could point you to Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell. These are probably names that you've heard. You've probably read some of their books. I could do that. I could point to the fact that the body of Jesus has never been found. I could point to the fact that even in 2002, when supposedly there was an ossuary, which was a stone box where the bones of dead persons was placed between 0 AD and 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed. I could point to the fact that even the box that supposedly held the bones of Jesus was found out to be a hoax. I could point to the fact that if the story that the disciples used to propose that Jesus rose from the dead was true, that they wouldn't have, if you saw in the story, who were the first people to show up and find out that Jesus had risen from the dead? It was women. If the disciples were lying about this, there ain't no way in Hades that they would use women in their story to say that Jesus had risen from the dead, because back in the day, it took two women to vote on the same thing or to testify about the same thing in order for it to be legitimate, okay? So basically, Dominique, if you and Megan, my niece right here, if y'all witnessed something crazy, like Caleb just went crazy and like you know, kidnapped me or something because, you know, basketball got canceled this afternoon, okay? If that happened, it would take both of you guys, if y'all saw it, in order for a policeman to take you seriously. That's what I'm saying, to put it in context, okay? What I'm saying is I could point to some many things to demonstrate the reality and the truth of the resurrection, but what I want to bring your attention to is this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brought radical change in the men and women who experienced it. Now, we use terms like my favorite Bible character is, and my favorite Bible character in the Old Testament is, but I want to encourage you to know that these are figures that took place in time, okay? These are historical figures, and I want to draw your attention to just a couple of those figures who really encountered the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Saul, the Pharisee, encountered something very real, and we know him now as the Apostle Paul. Now, let me give you some context on that. As a Pharisee, you probably have heard the story. You've heard that the Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was on his way to Damascus. And what was he doing on his way to Damascus when he encountered Jesus Christ? Anybody know? Talk to me. He was on the way to persecute Christians. Now, when I say persecute Christians, I'm not saying making fun of Christians. Y'all believe in Jesus. I'm not saying that you'd be humiliated on Facebook for putting up God loves you. That's not persecution. I'm saying he was going to kill Christians, okay? The Pharisee Saul had everything going for him in his life. Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, Paul is saying, man, your boy was on fire. He said, man, although I was young, I was far ahead of my contemporaries in the faith. I had older members of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who looked up to me because of my study and my knowledge in the scriptures. He knew what his life looked like. He was probably married given the fact that he was a Pharisee. He had a wifey. He had a career. He had a future. He had success. He had everything. But one day on his way to Damascus, what happened? He met the risen Jesus Christ. And he said, to everything I've got going for me, this is no hoax. I'm laying it down. I got everything. We believe that Paul possibly even was left by his wife because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He left everything because he really encountered a resurrected Christ. The resurrection of Christ produces real change. I'm going to hit you with one more. I could give you about 15, but I'm going to hit you with one more. My man Peter, who remembers Peter? When they were coming to arrest Jesus Christ, Peter says, Lord, I already told you from the bottom of my heart, I will never forsake you. I'm a ride or die. I'm with you to the end. They show up to arrest Jesus. He takes a sword out. He chops off a dude's ear. Real talk. Chopped his ear off. I'm ride or die. I'm a gangster. That's what he was telling Jesus. I'm a G. Okay? Jesus says, Peter, chill out. You live by the sword. Surely, I promise you, you will what? Die by the sword. That's not how my kingdom operates. Chill out with that. So they arrest Jesus, and things get really serious. Really serious, really intense, really fast. And what does Peter do? He runs and he denies. I mean, you was with Jesus. They're about to kill that dude and you was with him. We should kill you. No, I was not with him. Nope, I was not. Yes, you were. I saw you. You were. I was not. He denied Jesus the same way Jesus said. And sure enough, everything that Peter had going for himself was down the tubes. Now follow me on this. You with me? Say yes. So Peter had a wife. The Bible tells us that Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law, which suggests that he was married, okay? He had a fishing business, okay? He was a businessman, making lots of decent money during that day. Everything going for him. If Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, Peter could have simply walked back to his ordinary life. Job as a fisherman. Got a wife. Maybe have kids. Got my family. Got my future ahead of me. Might get made fun of a couple times. Man, you believe that, you actually believe that God, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah till he died. Peter would have been like, yeah, it was crazy. But that's not what he did. He left all of that. Says, you know what? I'm so sure I've encountered the risen Jesus Christ. I have to leave it all. And from that point forward, Peter had to look at people and minister to people on an eye level because he had fallen. How many people know that God will pick you up if you got to reach way down? How many people know that? Was the very one that rejected Jesus Christ. Jesus picked him up and for the rest of his ministry, looked at people on an eye level. He said, man, I'm going to get down and dirty with you, bro. I denied Jesus myself, but he rose, and that's why I'm doing this. So the resurrection brings very real change. It brings radical what? Change. Come on, you're not following me. So the resurrection brings radical what?
Change.
I'm almost out of here. Number three, I want you to get this. Number three, this is very important. The resurrection of Jesus means that he really is who he claimed to be. He really is who he claimed to be. Who's ever heard of C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis put it very well. Listen, there's no such thing as this postmodern approach to Jesus. As long as Jesus is your savior, good for you. He's not my savior, so good for me. As long as we, you know, appreciate everybody's belief system, then it's all good. C.S. Lewis put it very well. He said, listen, Jesus is one of three things. Look to your neighbor and say, one of three. He's either a liar. He really thought. He really knew he was not the Son of God. He knew that he wasn't divine. He knew he didn't come from above. He knew he wasn't the only way to the Father. He knew he wasn't coming back in glory with the angels of God. He knew that wasn't true. He was just lying because he liked the popularity. He liked what it brought him. Everybody liked Jesus for a while till it caught up with him. He was a liar. Either he was a liar or he was crazy. He was a lunatic. He thought he was those things. We got lots of people in Asheville who really think they're Jesus. They're crazy, okay? If you're in this church right now, you think you're Jesus, you're crazy. And I'll go to lunch with you and we'll talk about it. Either he was a liar, he was a lunatic, or he really is the Lord. That's why you say amen. So the resurrection means Jesus Christ really is who he claimed to be. And what does that mean for you? That means you really are forgiven. That means you really have a place in God's kingdom. That means God really does have a purpose for your life. That means God really is at work in your life. And all the things that seem like harsh difficulties that would compete for your hope and your joy, these things really are in the hand of God, and he's using them for his glory and for your good. If he really rose from the dead, he really is who he claimed to be, and he really has a purpose for your life. Amen? And I got one last thing I want to hit you with. And it's a beautiful, awesome truth. Look to your neighbor and say, this is where it gets really good. Then I got to get out of here. I'm almost done. Last point. The resurrection of Jesus Christ warrants our allegiance. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means Jesus deserves our all-out devotion. Jesus deserves our total commitment. Jesus is worthy of our life. So what that means is this. If Jesus really rose from the dead, let's take it back to Prashant. Nobody in this church should ever be accused of casual faith. How many people in this building do your fam, your friends, they don't have to look at your Facebook and see your religious beliefs to know that you're a Christian? Now, I'm an evangelist, so you know I'm all about sharing with words your faith. But the truth is, your neighbors and your friends and your family members, you shouldn't even have to say a word about Jesus for them to know that you're a Christian. You shouldn't be casual. If he really rose from the dead, you see how when Pastor Shannon and I came out, we're the Father and the Spirit, and Jesus came out, did he come out like this? Look. And I'm almost out of time. Did he come out like this? I made it. Thanks, guys. Glory to me. What did he do? He came out like this. Hallelujah. He said, I'm alive. I have the keys of death and Hades in my hand. I don't think you heard me. I said, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. And if he has the power to defeat death and the grave, he has the power to lead you in your life. He has the power to be a good Lord in your life. Can I get a witness? Amen. Let me take it back to the first scripture I shared and this is going to be my time. Listen to what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 5:15, write it down. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves. That's retarded. That's crazy. But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Jesus came out the grave to be Lord of your life. Can I get a witness? He came out the grave to say, man, what I paid for on your behalf, when I paid for your sins, that's standing. That's true. It worked. It was good. And I came to lead your life. I want you to trust me. I want you to commit your life to me. Nate's going to come up. Fam, I want you to get this. I'm going to review and then I'm going to be out of here. Point number one, what you believe, what you really believe affects how you what? Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ without question produces radical change. Say radical change. Number three, the resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrates to us that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. He really is the only way to the Father. God wouldn't raise a liar from the dead. He really is the only way, and he's worthy to be your Lord. Point number four, the resurrection of Jesus Christ warrants our devotion, our allegiance. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for the glorious resurrection of Jesus. Lord, may we never take the resurrection lightly. May we never hear a song about the glorious return from the dead of the Son of God and do anything but rejoice. Lord, I'm asking that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would draw somebody in here today to move beyond casual faith. Perhaps there are some here, Lord, who they really do take you at your word. They believe that you rose from the dead and that you are Lord and King and Savior. But Lord, they just ain't living for you with everything. Lord, I pray that you would raise up a generation in this church who lives for you with everything they have. Lord, I ask that the words of Paul would not just be ink on paper, but Lord, it would come alive in our lives. That, Lord, when people see the way we love Christ and follow Christ, they would say, man, they done lost their mind. So, Father, I'm just asking that today, when we reflect on this glorious resurrection, that you would have your way, that you would demonstrate to us the power that rose Christ from the dead in the way we live our lives. We love you. We need you. We give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. And God's people said, amen. Amen.